This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Stephen Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Every once in a while, we need to be reminded that there is a war going on in this world, a spiritual battle. I invite you to stay with us today and find out all about this battle and how we can emerge victorious. Let's pray. Almighty God, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear friends, this question comes up sometimes in magazines, both secular and Christian, and oftentimes it'll come up in conversations as well. What's wrong with the church today? With scandals rocking it at its foundations, shrinking membership numbers, sagging worship attendance, questioning of basic doctrines upon which the church was founded, the little impact it seems to be having on the culture these days, has people puzzled and wondering, isn't the Church of Jesus Christ to be the salt of the earth, the city on a hill, the light of the world? So why is it that we don't seem to be having an impact on morality, on the culture, and the lives of people living around us? What is wrong? How would you answer that question? I believe the Apostle Paul would respond to it in this way. Perhaps the church needs to be reminded that it's in a war, that this world is a war zone between the power of the evil one and the kingdom of God. The church exists in a war zone. Paul would probably even go on to say to us in the church, "So wake up and stand." Where do I get this idea from Paul? Well, it's from a portion of a letter that Paul wrote to a young church in Ephesus. He wrote a letter that we find in the New Testament to a congregation that existed in a cosmopolitan area. There was a real mix of all kinds of people, all kinds of belief systems, all kinds of value systems. The great temple of Artemis and Diana was found in that community. Lots of paganism. And the church seemed to be in danger of losing its way or of being swallowed up by all its surroundings. So Paul, concerned about their well-being, wrote a letter. The first three chapters of it, he reviewed with them the basic doctrines of the good news of Jesus Christ. Then he taught them in chapters 4, 5, and into chapter 6, how to live as a community with one another in response to the gospel. And then there is this closing section, which we're going to look at today. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, where Paul issued a challenging word to the church to wake them up. And I believe these spirit-saturated words are for us as well in the modern church today. It reads as follows, Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. According to Paul, there's a war going on, a spiritual war, and the Church of Jesus Christ is in the midst of it. There is one who longs to destroy the church and destroy your faith in Jesus, the evil one. I am sometimes asked, Steve, do you really believe that Satan exists? I do. People a lot smarter and wiser than me believe that as well. I like what That great author C.S. Lewis wrote one time when he said, and I quote, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." In other words, C.S. Lewis is saying, yes, there is a devil. Obviously, the Apostle Paul believed that, as we read today, as he talked about the wiles of the devil. We know that the Apostle Peter did as well, as he wrote in his first letter about the devil like a prowling lion seeking to devour us. And the Apostle John in the book of Revelation talks about him as well. And of course, we also know that our Lord Jesus believed that. He talked about him, didn't he? When he established his church after Peter confessed him to be the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "Upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Like it's going to be attacked. And then there's that temptation story of Jesus, as Satan attempted to get him to look out for himself and get him off track from carrying out his mission for his heavenly Father. And we know Christ was under attack when he responded to Peter's rebuke later on with this line, "Get behind me, Satan." He sensed in the words of his friend a subtle tempting of him away from carrying out his mission. The Old Testament writers tell us about him as well. In Genesis 3, Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden and asked Eve, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat that fruit?" And when she said, "Yes, it's true," the tempter said, "That's not true. God just wants to keep you in your place. Go ahead, take a bite." And thus the fall of humanity came about. How does he work? Three ways: through heresy and compromise, false teachings, lies. He's the father of lies. He whispers into the ears of people both in and outside the church, "Do you really believe that? Isn't it a little old-fashioned for you to believe in these things in this modern day and age? Do you really believe God's word means that?" He calls into question the very basics of God's holy word. Sometimes he comes to us with adversity to discourage us. In parts of the world, Christians today face fear for their lives, martyrdom, persecution. These are means that Satan can use to keep the church quiet. Sometimes in the midst of our own personal adversities, when life is falling apart, he whispers in our ear, "Where is your God now, Christian?" Sometimes Satan uses apathy. He gets us preoccupied with trivial things that don't really matter. And in the church, we find ourselves losing sight of the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. We're called to be in the world to change it with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan tries to get us off track, doing other things. We must continually be reminded that we are not called to be a church that moves with the world, but a church that moves the world. And so Paul wrote to this Ephesian church as he saw them in danger of being swallowed up and rendered useless by the culture. He was seeing it as a spiritual battle, Satan on attack. And he said, "Stand firm. Watch out. Wake up. Things have not changed. We are in the midst of a battle. Yes, it's true. We know that Jesus defeated the power of sin and death and the devil at the cross and the resurrection. But according to the word of God, we are still in the midst of a mop-up operation. There is still opposition to the church as Satan strategizes to get us off from what we're supposed to do. And so Paul issues a battle cry in this text we read together. "Stand," he says. Not once, not twice, but four times he says it. That word, "stand," is military language. It means hold the line, spoken to soldiers in battle. Not only does he say stand, but stand against. Stand against what? The wiles, the strategies of the evil one who seeks to knock us off balance and keep us from carrying out the kingdom of God's mission. But here's the good news, Paul says, as he says, wake up and stand four times. He says, but remember, you're not on your own. God has provided for you to fight the good fight. And then he describes the armor that God has provided us as soldiers of Christ to wear. It's interesting to note, by the way, that it's actually what God wears for battle in the book of Isaiah. Well, anyway, Paul begins to describe the things that a soldier wears that goes into battle. First, he says, fasten the belt of truth. Now, the belt was what a soldier would use to tuck his robe into to keep from getting tangled up during the fight so he could maneuver better. That belt was an important piece. And Paul says, you need the belt of truth, the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He also said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to hang on to that truth. Second, God has provided you, Paul says, with a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected the heart of the soldier, those vital organs. It was something that they wore in order to stand strongly and bravely against the attack. And the breastplate is one, for spiritual means, is righteousness, Paul says. Righteousness means doing the right thing, standing up for the right thing for the sake of Jesus. Now, this righteousness that he calls us to is something that we cannot possibly attain or carry out on our own. It comes from Jesus Christ alone. For at the cross, he, the righteous one, died for us. And as we place our trust in him, the gospel news is that his righteousness is transferred to us. So when Christ steps into our life, we become righteous within, and we become righteous in God's sight, and we become empowered to do the right thing for Jesus Christ. Next, he said, after you've put on that belt and that breastplate, put on the shoes. Put on the shoes. The soldier's shoes had cleats. These cleats would give strong footing and prevent slipping. It made one ready to stand strong and be successful in serving. And Paul describes those shoes as readiness with the gospel of peace. He's saying, whatever will make you ready to proclaim that gospel, it's the training it's going to take to share with someone how to have peace with God. Boy, put that on. Well, let me ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, would you be ready to tell someone about the gospel of peace? Are you trained and ready to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ? Next, he says, you'll need a shield of faith to go along with all of this to protect your attitude. The shield was what was used to protect the soldier from the arrows that would come in his direction, or the sword that was being swung at him. Our shield is to protect us is our faith, our believing in the power of God and in the power of his presence. That can quench the flaming arrows of discouragement and keep us standing strong. He says, put on the helmet of salvation as well. You know what a helmet's for. It's to protect the head, the brain. Protect your mind, he says. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul uses the same phrase of salvation, but instead of using helmets, he's put on the hope of salvation, that helmet of hope. Hope equals confidence. It's a confidence that the battle is the Lord's, and that I am his forever, whether I live or whether I die, I belong to him. On June 6, 1994, it was the 50th anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy, which began the historic World War II battle to liberate continental Europe from Nazi control. All the major television networks ran anniversary programs that included interviews with some of the aging veterans. One of the programs paired two contrasting interviews back to back. The first interview was with a Marine who had landed on Omaha Beach. He recalled horrors that sounded like scenes from Spielberg's movie Saving Private Ryan. The aging veteran recalled looking around at the bloody casualties surrounding him on that beach and concluding, "We're going to lose." The next interview, though, was with a U.S. Army Air Corps reconnaissance pilot who had flown over the whole battle area. He had viewed the carnage on the beaches and hills, but he also witnessed the successes of the Marines, the penetration by the paratroopers, and the effectiveness of the aerial bombardment. He looked at everything that was happening and concluded, "We're going to win." Taking the helmet of salvation is seeing the whole campaign. We look at it from that vantage point. We're going to win. The day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Finally, Paul says it's time to think about offense. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That precious Word of God with its promises that thousands have given their lives for in order that we might be able to open it and understand it and read it and know the mind of God. I'm reminded of Christ's offense in the wilderness temptations as he kept saying, it's written, Satan. Let me ask you, are you into the Word? Or should I say, has the Word gotten into you? The Church of Jesus Christ will only stand strong as it operates under the Word of God. It is to be our authority in matters of life and faith. He says, as you're putting that armor on, he goes on to say, pray at all times. It takes a supernatural power to fight a supernatural battle and to stand strong. We cannot do this on our own. If we're going to be salt or a city on a hill or a light, we must be connected to the supernatural power of God offered to us in prayer. It's like the hymn says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. So there you have it. What's Paul's big idea in this text that he wants the Ephesians and us to take home with us? Stand, Christian church, hold the line. Fight the good fight. There's a battle going on. When I was a younger, we would sing a lot about that with the old hymns. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Or how about this one? Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of march has come. That's why we have this vivid picture from Paul of a soldier's armor. It's a call to arms, a wake-up call to the church, saying, we're in a battle. Wake up, stand, hold the line. My brothers and sisters, we are still in a spiritual battle, and we're still called to be soldiers of the cross, to stand firmly against the powers that seek to destroy the church. Wonderful story I came across about a pastor's son. The pastor told this story. One summer, our son went to a youth camp. He was just a little guy, and I was kind of glad it was this camp because it was a church camp. I figured he wasn't going to hear all those ghost stories because ghost stories can really cause a kid to have nightmares. But unfortunately, since it was a Christian camp and they didn't tell ghost stories because we don't believe in ghosts, they told demon and Satan stories instead. And so when Aaron got home, he was terrified. Dad, don't turn off the light, he said before going to bed. No, Dad, could you stay here with me? Dad, I'm afraid. All those stories they told about demons, I wanted to say, they're not real. He went on, Dad, would you pray for me that I would be safe? I could feel it. I could feel warm blanket Christianity beginning to wrap around my boy, a life of safety, safety, safety. I said to him, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous, so dangerous that demons will flee when you enter the room. And Aaron went, all right, but pray that I'd be really, really dangerous, Daddy. And that is my prayer for you and myself and for the whole church, that we may stand holding the line and be so dangerous for Christ the demons will flee when they face us. Amen.
Onward, Christian soldiers, march.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask this day that you would strengthen and renew your church, beginning with each one of us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make us bold and courageous. May we stand firmly, holding the line for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be a people of the Word, a people of prayer, soldiers of the cross. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. May your heart continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported entirely by our listening audience. Through your gifts and prayers, people around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation. We ask for your continued prayerful and financial support in sharing the gospel message for years to come. Some members of our audience have chosen to become broadcast sponsors, giving a gift of $100 or more. You see, a gift of $100 covers the cost of 1 week's broadcast on the station to which you listen. Call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH to find out more about becoming a broadcast sponsor or direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Today's service is also available to be read or heard over the internet. Our website also features many other spiritual tools, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us online at christiancrusaders.org to experience this program again or discover the many other resources we offer. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders.